Captain Radio. Well, my next guest says that the fashion industry is one of the most poorly behaved industries on the planet. And it's not the temperamental models that are actually the problem. It's the devastating effect on the planet. Kirsty Milligan is a personal branding eco-stylist and she joins us this afternoon. Kirsty, thank you very much for your time.
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Very well, thank you. You're a stylist. You live in Melbourne with the centre of Australian fashion, as it always has been.
Yes, I do live in the centre of fashion. It's a lovely place to live. If only the fashion industry was a little bit better behaved.
Yeah, it's interesting now the focus, well, it has been for some time on, you know, the sort of things that we buy, the fabrics we buy, the prices we pay for things have certainly come to the fore. And not before time, Kirsty, because it's sort of very obvious that landfill is getting filled up with items that we don't need from products that we wear.
We are sending a lot of our new textile, even our new textile that we buy each year, to landfill. And our behaviours as consumers have really changed over the last 10 or 15 years. And we don't really view shopping as a task that we have to do for things that we actually require. It's kind of an entertainment sport now. Yeah. And we're seeing the result of that at the other end of the clothing life cycle is that we're destroying textile, either an overage of things that are being made from within the fashion industry before they ever get sold, or by way of the fact that we're not wearing our clothes as long as we used to, and we're getting rid of them and not recycling.
No, you're absolutely right. We've been ridiculously spoiled, I suppose, with choice and price. And because I remember years ago with my mother, when I was little, she'd say, "Now it's coming up to winter, so I'll now have to go and get myself a new cardigan," and that was it. Nothing else. You didn't need anything else at that time.
Yeah, and when I grew up, it was the same thing. There was one jacket. You had one jacket. You had one pair of shoes, your good Sunday shoes, and one for riding the horses and one for going to school in. And now we have wardrobes that are full and overflowing, and we can afford extra things and more things.
Yeah.
And we've actually increased the number of garments that we will have in our wardrobes by 60%. In the last 15 years, but we're wearing them half as much.
Oh, look, everyone would admit to that. There's no two ways. And there's probably a few reasons for that, Kirsty. One would have to be the price structure, so much cheaper.
Yeah, and what came first, the chicken or the egg? Did we start reducing prices and start buying more? Or did we want more so the market met us there and reduced the quality so that they could make things that we could consume very quickly and very readily?
There's a couple of areas, of course, of great concern. And that, of course, comes under the banner of the sweatshops. And, you know, if we had cameras in those places when we went into department stores so we could actually see how these garments were being made, even top-end fashion is getting made there.
Absolutely. There's a huge misunderstanding that if you pay a great deal for a garment or if you buy it from a luxury brand that you're actually buying an ethical and sustainable product. They're actually getting made in exactly the same factories as our, you know, normal line items we might get from the shopping centre or even from department stores. They just have a different tag on them. So the garment maker is actually getting paid the same to make a garment for Burberry, if they made a similar jacket in a similar material for Kmart.
Yeah, and this is the whole thing. I mean, they're obviously getting the higher price because of their label and that sort of thing. It's interesting, the loophole here. Only companies who rake in more than $100 million in annual revenue have to show transparency in terms of their supply chain.
And look, we have to kind of celebrate the fact that we're talking about supply chains, because we hadn't been talking about those probably 5 years ago. But that is a huge loophole. So if my business, if my fashion business doesn't have an annual revenue that's that high, I don't have to give you any indicator of where these things got made and in what conditions they were made, if it was ethical or if it was sustainable in any way. And that really has to change.
Well, it would, because it would eliminate probably 90% of the retail market out there that don't have to declare. But those that do, in $100 million and excess, that'd be the real top labels, wouldn't they? And they have to actually say what they're paying for their labour. Is that how it works?
I guess it depends on, I don't think it's always the real, if you're talking higher level labels, but it's certainly the higher volume, higher sales.
Ah, yes, yeah.
So might those sort of midstream H&Ms that are all over the world that buy large amounts of garments might they be in that genre? Certainly, and they certainly have been doing work around transparency and around creating policies that make it look like they're greener than they are. And it's in the industry, it's called greenwashing. So the complexity of the issue and the complexity of how we're fixing the issue is quite extraordinary, which is why it's so disappointing when the UK Parliament rejected the fashion tax. Because when the government puts a stamp on something and says, we're going to regulate it, we're going to watch it, we're going to set these targets, it gives the consumer a bit of peace of mind that maybe something is going to get done here. But with them just rejecting that tax, it's so disappointing.
And why did they, do you think?
I think it could be a little bit in the too hard basket. Perhaps they're not ready to take on the fashion industry yet. I think that the fashion industry is more powerful than we think it is. So it's the second most unsustainable on the planet, second only to oil.
Goodness me, that is amazing. So
if you allow an industry to get to that level, if it's so complex that there are manufacturers all over the world and it has this incredible network that mostly we don't even get to see from one end to the other, how much corruption and money is going through that industry for it to allow to get where it is now. So I think they may be a little bit scared.
I think you're probably right there, Kirsty. And the other thing too, the most difficult thing I think to try to get through to people is human behaviour. You know, the temptation of inexpensive items unfortunately seems to be winning out.
Yes, and I call it shopping your values. And every time I talk about ethical fashion, I ask people to raise their hands if they support child slave labour, and nobody does.
No, of course.
But every time you go to the shop,
you don't
think
about it.
Yeah. So we, as consumers, we have to raise our consciousness. We have to really have a think about and hold ourselves to a higher standard. And I think that's what drives my passion about it, because I have small children.
Yeah.
And I don't want them picking cotton in a field that's covered with pesticides because they were pulled out of school that day. And if they didn't go and pick the cotton, they'd be expelled from school. It's a hideous behaviour. And it's not, this isn't 20 years ago, this is today.
Total slave labour. Kirsty, how do we find at the shops, at the retail outlets, things that are eco-friendly, for example?
Look, it should be easier to find. And the petition that I sent to our government was to include iconic labelling so that we could actually tell how badly the garment we were buying had harmed people, animals or the planet. The same way that we know whether eggs have been laid in a cage or free range, we deserve to know that. But there are no indicators to tell us those answers when we go to the shop and buy something. There's some great reports that we can look at, and there's some great apps that we can use. The Good On You app, I tell everyone about that one. You can download it. They do all the research on the labels for you, and they tell you how much they harm people, animals and the planet. There's also the fashion, ethical fashion report that comes out every April from baptist.org, which gives you a whole lot of information. And there's the incredible fashionrevolution.org to join and to follow so that you can ask labels who made my clothes.
I think that's fantastic. Thank you for bringing us to our attention. Very much appreciated. Thank you, Kirsty.
Thanks for chatting, Jenny.
Bye for now. Kirsty McMilligan, their personal branding eco-stylist. Makes you stop and think about all those T-shirts that you buy at $5 each, and how many do you need? It's really quite awakening, isn't it?